Turn in your Bibles to Hosea. The book of Hosea is after Daniel. He's one of the so-called minor prophets, I guess, but they're only that way because of the amount they wrote, not because of, you know, who they are or anything like that. Hosea, the 10th chapter. We'll be looking at a lot of verses and all that today in Hosea as well. And our text this morning and what we sang this morning, we'll be looking at that too. But for now, I'm only going to read one verse, if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll call this sermon, "This is How to Get Real." We could call it, "This is How to Make It Rain," but we don't really make it rain. God does. This is how to prepare for rain. But are we going to be real in doing that? This is how to get real. Anybody want to get real today? Remember, you said that. Hosea 10, verse 12. "Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground. For it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you." Father, speak for your glory, and in your name we pray. Lord, fill with thy power till all shall see Christ only always living in me. And oh, I'm not there yet. You can do that in this moment. Fill me with your spirit that I may deliver your word as a prophet to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. This is how to get real. So you're really dirty and you're messy and you got dirt all over you. And you're at somebody else's house and they go, "Oh, well, no problem. I've got a bathroom. Use the bathroom. Go ahead and clean up." And there's a shower there and there's soap there and a towel there. But if you don't actually turn on the water, get in the tub, lather up the soap, rinse off with the water, towel yourself off, you are not going to be clean. There's something there for you to use, but you did not use it. You may have been sincere. "I'm really dirty. I need to be clean." You know the truth. But did you apply it? You could be really, really sick. And the doctor gives you these medicines. And you have the right medicine. But you really don't keep on the schedule and all that. You're really not so sincere with the whole thing and wonder why, you know, it just doesn't seem to work for you. Or that diet part of the rest he told you about, that's the part we kind of skip. So we have the truth, we know the truth. You need to watch your diet, you need to watch your exercise, you need to watch your rest, you need to take your vitamins and all this other thing, and we may feel sincere one day, and we have the truth, we know we need this in our head, we need it, we know it, but we don't do it. Or, oh, we're ready, we're ready, we're ready. And we take the vitamins, we take this, we take this, and we do this, and we do everything we're supposed to do, but we have the wrong medicine. So we're sincere, we want to be healed, we want to be clean, but we have the wrong thing involved. Does it work? No. Getting real is what we're talking about today. And we're talking about the children of Israel. This is the northern kingdom, okay? Remember that after Solomon, David, then Solomon, after Solomon passed away, the kingdom split into two. There were 10 northern tribes that were led by Solomon's general, Jeroboam. And then you'll see they always stayed wicked. It'll say, Jeroboam caused them to sin. He put golden calves in Dan and Bethel so that they wouldn't go to Jerusalem and worship and go back to the other kingdom. And so you'll see all the kings, they sinned in the sin of Jeroboam, which means they were mixing religious practices with the real worship of God. And then there were two southern kingdoms led by Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And they were Benjamin and Judah, and they were called Judah, or Jews, as it were. But this is Hosea who prophesied before the 10 northern tribes went into captivity in 722 B.C. to Assyria. And he's saying, "Yes, you better get right, you better get right. You're going to be ruined, you're going to go into captivity." And they did. And they looked like they were doing wonderful, but eventually they fell down Hosea prophesied for a long time. Jeremiah prophesied for more than 20 years. And then in 586, Judah also went down, more than 100 years later. At this time, Judah was still doing good. You look at the lines of the kings, and all the kings of the northern kingdom were bad. But in Judah, you had some good ones like Hezekiah or young Josiah and others. And of course, you had wicked ones like Manasseh and all of that. But here we are. Let's look at verse 11 first, because it says Ephraim. I want to tell you that that means it's the northern kingdom. That's what he means when he says that. Ephraim was a trained calf that loved to thresh, and I spared her fair neck. But I will put Ephraim to the yoke. Judah must plow. Jacob must harrow for himself. Again, I just point that out to show you that when it says Ephraim in Hosea, it's talking about the northern kingdom. And when Hosea first started his ministry, they were doing wonderful. And there was a brokered peace, and there was prosperity. And he said, this is only on the outside. Inside, like Jesus said to the Pharisees, remember? You're ravenous wolves. This isn't working. You're sowing the wind, and you're going to reap the whirlwind. It's not going to work out for you. And as he prophesied on and on, they lost their political position. They lost their social position. They lost their prosperity and ended up in captivity. Again, the first king of the north, Jeroboam, had instituted a mixture of pagan worship into their religion. And they were getting any prophet and any priest he anointed, they weren't real. They were sincere, in a sense, but they didn't have the truth. And up to this time of Hosea, they were continuing to mix in God with other religious ceremonies and practices. It was kind of like today. It was a sort of a cafeteria religion. You'll see in theology, and you'll see it in on your blogs and things like that, they'll call it syncretism. Kind of like synchronize. They try to bring it together and say, oh, it's okay. We're all going to the same God. I want to worship the way that I want to worship. But God always talks about worshiping on His terms. And they weren't doing that. They were worshiping Baal, or you may have heard it called Baal, okay? He was a fertility god who was thought to be the giver of rain. But what Hosea is telling the people is that the only true rain will be given by the only true God, and we can only truly seek Him on His terms. People become like the objects they love. Let me read Hosea 9:10. It says, like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel. Like the first fruit on the fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers. But they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the thing of shame and became detestable like the thing they loved. Psalm 115, 3-8 says the same thing. We become like what we worship. What are you becoming like? Let me tell you, that shows what you worship. There are some people missing today that need to hear this, and you need to give them this and make them listen to this, even if they throw you out of the house. There, I said it. People become like the objects they love. Israel had sown to the wind, and they'd weep the whirlwind. Let me read Hosea chapter 8. Verse 2 through 7, it says, to me they cry, my God, Israel, we know you. Don't people do that? Oh, I know God, leave me alone. I don't have to go to church. Oh, I can look at that. I can listen to that. It doesn't really matter. I'm holy. I'm trusting in God. They thought they were. They said, to me they cry. So they're praying to God. They say, my God, Israel, we know you. But Israel spurned the good. The enemy shall pursue him. They made kings, but not through me. They set up princes, but I knew it not. With their silver and gold, they made idols for their own destruction. I have spurned your calf, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? For it is from Israel. A craftsman made it. It's not God. The calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. For they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads and shall need no flour. And if it is going to yield, strangers are going to devour it. They were religious pluralists, and God has mercy and mercy and mercy for now, but not necessarily forever, depending on if you truly seek Him or not. Again, it's just like today. We think sincerity is all that matters. But no. No. Sincerity towards the truth is what matters. And sincerity is no substitute for truth. We need both. You do need sincerity. But you need truth. You need to be sincere about seeking the truth. We need both. We need to get real. This message is a call to the church to remain loyal in an age of compromise and acceptance of unbiblical beliefs and practices in the name of grace when that's not grace. It's a call to each individual believer to examine themselves in the light of this text and apply it in order to have a more fruitful relationship with God. Do you want it to reign in your life? Do you want these blessings to happen? Do you want to live a more holy life and be able to overcome that sin that you're hiding away from everyone else? These are the things you're going to have to do if you want to escape the bondage and captivity of sin. I don't care how old you are, how many minutes or seconds you have left, it applies. Now, this isn't going to be every little detail about it, but it's a framework for you to follow. And I'm going to be speaking again to the sinner, to the backslider, and to the on-fire Christian. Now, here's the weird thing here. Look in verse 12. It says, sow, reap, and then plow. Break up your fallow ground means plow, cultivate. You ask any farmer, they're going to tell you that's not the proper way to get growth. Sow, reap, and plow? Seems that backwards, doesn't it? Well, it is. It's placed in the text that way to give us some incentive. We're to break up the ground so that we may sow and reap. Many people don't understand that, and they wonder why they think they're planting the Word of God, and it doesn't seem to be getting any harvest for them. We make all sorts of excuses, like something that happened in my past. I've got a curse. Yeah, whatever it is. But the truth is that many don't see their real misery, like Israel didn't hear. But some do. And what are they to do? The same things this text instructs us to do. Israel didn't heed the call. The question is, will we? Will you? Do you want it to rain? Do you want it to rain? Will you get real? Let's take this phrase by phrase. It says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Interesting. What does it mean? It means plant the Word of God. Practice godly living. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, verses 4 through 10 talks about adding these things to our faith. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12 talks about things that accompany salvation. But Israel had grown wicked, complacent, unbelieving. They weren't advancing in the things of God. They weren't moving forward. They were continuing to slide back. It wasn't about their happiness. A lot of them were happy. It was about holiness. Again, I am a grace man. But you can't use grace as a license to sin. 1 Peter 2:16 says, do not use the grace as a license to sin, but rather be a slave to God. God is concerned, folks, about a believer's growth in grace and practical holiness. Let me read some verses here to you. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, those God saves become God's slaves. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Oh, this is powerful. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. God is concerned about this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, we don't know exactly what we're going to be, but we will be because we'll see Him as He is. And then it says, everyone who has this hope, what hope? That Jesus Christ is coming back, that we're going to be transformed into His image. Everyone that has this hope purifies himself as He is pure. There's a non-negotiable there. It does happen. He's saying, everyone that really is hoping in it is doing it. If you're not doing it, you're really not looking at your hope. You're not living for today by having an eye for tomorrow. You're living down in this and being overcome. You still may make it to heaven, but it seems to be dry and dusty, and the Word of God doesn't seem to make any difference to you. Why? Because you haven't done these things. Of course, again, we've got to do one of these before we get to the other two. We've got to plow before we sow and reap. But sowing for yourselves righteousness. Now look what it says. Reap steadfast love. Your version may say mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Do we need mercy? We need mercy and we need grace. We need mercy because we did it. We need grace so we don't do it again. Know what I'm saying? What does it mean, reaping steadfast love? Reaping the word that's preached. You get something out of it. Understanding the word as it's taught. Maybe you want to come on Wednesday. Being fervent and diligent in prayer. Obedient and submissive. Humble and repentant. Filled with the Spirit. Enjoying Christian fellowship. You say, well, I'm doing some of that. Great. I'm okay with that. I'm saying, are there other areas in your life where it could be even more? You're doing fantastic. You're doing personally fantastic. I'm looking right at you. You're doing fantastic. Great. We love you. Oh, stay, please. But maybe there's something else. Maybe there's some more area where there could be some more rain. It could be some more crops. But are you willing to get real? Because sometimes he'll let that, some areas of your life dry out. It's because he's wanting to get into another area. He's wanting to grow you up, get you bigger, do more. Again, reaping the word preached, understanding the word taught, being fervent and diligent in prayer, obedient, submissive, humble, and repentant, filled with the Spirit, enjoying Christian fellowship, developing a life lived for God that sees abundant mercy and grace and feels God's love. That's a person for whom God is experientially real. You want God to be real to you. You need to get real with God. So how can we get to the point where we can sow these righteous things and then reap all this mercy? How do we get to that point? It says next, break up your fallow ground. What's fallow ground? Well, it's just untilled soil, okay? Fallow ground, though, listen to me, it's not devoid of life altogether. It just hasn't been cultivated. It's not dormant. It just hasn't been attended to. We have areas in our development where they stop developing now, and then there's places, and then there's house, and then space, then house. What do you think happens in that space? It grows up with what's naturally going to happen. What? It's called WEEDS. There's not going to be a bunch of beautiful, you know, it's not like David went out and made the place look all nice and everything like that. If you don't get your lawn done and you don't plant the seeds and do all the stuff that's necessary, it's going to look like a mess, right? That's fallow ground. It's a mess. Hasn't been attended to. It's not tilled. It's neglected, abandoned. It's wild. It's not under control. It's really serving no use. It's growing weeds instead of a harvest of wheat. That's the kind of ground that is the typical state. Now, folks, we don't actually make it rain. It's God alone who gives the harvest. It says, break up your fallow ground. You do it. You do it. Someone say, you do it. Break up, sow for yourselves. Break up, and I'm a grace man, and I know God, you know, hey, look, I believe in the sovereignty of God. But he ordains the means and the end. And he says right here, you want rain? Break up your fallow ground. It's God alone that gives the harvest, we know that. But we're called to work the field, till the soil of your soul. Break up the fallow ground. We have to prepare for rain. We've got to prepare for this thing. Let me read Mark. This is the gospel. This is Jesus right at the beginning of his ministry saying you need to understand these things. Mark chapter 4, verses 24 through 29. You should remember these verses. He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. Somebody, pay attention. With the measure you use, it will be measured to use. And still, more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given. And the one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away. Use it or lose it. And he said, the kingdom of God, are you listening? The kingdom of God. Someone please say, the kingdom of God. You want to know how it works? Here it is. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He does not know how, but he is working the thing. God is the one that does it. It says the earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Amen. We got to do something. Now, a moment ago, I said I'm going to be talking to unbelievers as well. And every sermon I've heard on this, they always talk about, well, this is for believers and all that. Or it's strictly for unbelievers. I believe it's for both. Here's the deal, though. The unbeliever is nothing but fallow ground, right? They can't sow to righteousness and reap in mercy. They can't do it. The Bible describes them as dead in sin. But you know what? And again, I'm a sovereign grace guy, no doubt. But that doesn't mean they cannot act at all. It means they're not in actively participating relationship with God. They're not actively in relationship with God. They haven't been cultivated at all. They don't love God. They don't look to glorify God. They don't look to do His will. But when the gospel is preached, it's the call for the sinner to act, to accept God, to admit sin, to announce repentance, to agree to turn, to come to God in faith. The gospel plow of preaching breaks up the fallow ground, breaks open the hardened heart, and calls forth a new birth, causing them to seek the Lord while He rains righteousness on them in love. Amen. The natural principle of a man is against God. But the supernatural, the Holy Spirit, work of the Holy Spirit, through the preached word, can change a man's heart and give him life. By the foolishness of preaching, he chooses to save. 1 Corinthians 1. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10. Let me read Jeremiah 24:7. Hallelujah. We're looking at some scripture today. Is that okay? Jeremiah 24:7 says this: I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. The call of the gospel goes out, it breaks up the fallow ground, and it does the work, and then we seek God. And now, as a believer, you become partners with God, with that gospel plow, and are you going to let Him plow into your life? To the saint, it's the call to allow God to work in an uncultivated area of your life, of your heart, to till the soil once again, to break up that unused soil, to plant seed, to make it useful or fruitful again, to stop trying to do things in our own natural way and begin to follow God's way again. Christians can get hard-hearted. Yes, we feel dry. We have no growing affection for God. You're saying, but I'm really on fire. You can be even more on fire. You can be lighting other people on fire. Are you an oak for somebody? Or are you just a little twig? Are you burning out and fading away? We feel dry. We have no growing affection for God. We find that the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God has little or no interest for us or effect on us. There's a reason, young people, that you're falling asleep when I'm preaching. It's because you stayed out all night and you have no interest in preparing your heart to hear the word. That's what the deal is, and you wonder why. A plus B equals C. Same for us. Oh, I'm shouting and singing and running and jiving and doing all this on Sunday, and I turn right back to that thing on Monday. You got to till that soil once again. Is it really the preaching, or is it the listening? So we feel dry. It doesn't seem to be affecting us. Oh, come on. Or we feel a false sense of security. Israel here thought they were doing wicked. I mean, thought they were doing well, but they were doing wicked. They were assuming that good's going to come to them even though they did wicked. They're being pretentious. Even the heart of a Christian can produce an evil crop if we don't continually seek the Lord. And part of the seeking of the Lord is done by breaking up your fallow ground. And you know what that includes, by the way, is our two words that we've been using, superstition and hypocrisy. your fallow ground of superstition. I could go into all that and preach many sermons about superstition and hypocrisy. In all your busyness, have you neglected this? Now, I want you to do something here and look with me at the text and look at verse 13. And let's read it. You have plowed iniquity. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors. You see, when you look at verse 13, it's a parallel of verse 12 in that it's the exact opposite. It's a mirror of misery. The righteous reign is the opposite of these things. True revival, true reformation is apparent when these right things happen, like in verse 12, which is the opposite of verse 13. That's true repentance. Again, look at it. Sow for yourselves righteousness, you have plowed iniquity. Reap steadfast love, you've reaped injustice. Break up your fallow ground, you've eaten the fruit of lies. For it's time to seek the Lord. You've trusted in your own way, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you, but you've trusted in the way of the warriors, in other words, your own strength. Oh, I'm doing pretty good here. God help me in this area. I'm doing well here. You? They were doing well. They thought, no army is going to take us. We've got a lot of warriors here. I've got a full bank account. I know my verses. I've done the time. I've prayed. I've done all these things. But you rest on your laurels, and what happens? You get run over, plowed over. Because you forget about those potatoes over there, but you got to plow, and you got to sow, and you got to reap every year. And sometimes we don't even do that. It's been years since there's areas in our life that we thought, well, I'll push everything. I'm growing over here. I'm growing over here. But all you got's corn and peas. And God wants some green beans. But no, 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 no. God, please help me over here. And your diet is bad. Again, God ordains the end, but he also ordains the means. We need to break up the fallow ground so God can use it as holy ground. Next phrase. Are you with me? For it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Why do we want to break up our fallow ground? So we can sow in righteousness and reap mercy. Therefore, it is time to seek the Lord. The call for believers is to seek God. That's a theme found throughout the Bible. What does it say in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For the one, right? You know what it says. He must believe that he is. It's not a wish. You got to know. But then also believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to know him to even seek him. But you also got to believe that he will your diligence will continue to be paid off. It's not a casual thing. Oh, I've seeked the Lord. I know I can go boldly before the throne of grace. I get all that. But I'm saying, you got to get in that thing and really pray. It's not a casual thing. And it is always time to seek the Lord. You got to seek in order to find. You know that, right? But you got to seek him on his terms. We trust in our own way. Like it said, the mirror there in verse 13. Proverbs 28:26 says, those that trust in their heart, hello, are a fool. Or their mind, your version might say. But he who walks in the way of wisdom will be delivered. Let me read some other verses here. I'm just going to read some verses. Let's just read some verses. Psalm 51, verse 17. Says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Let me read Isaiah. Isaiah 57. Oh, hallelujah. 15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Isaiah 66:2 is much the same. You got to seek him on his own terms. Humble. You're coming to be taught by God. Submissive. Abandoned to God with your whole heart. Now, sometimes I know we truly intend to seek, but we do it on our own terms. And then we blame God for not answering us. And we want to give as little as possible to get the maximum amount of result, right? Like we're putting a God on a contract. Do this, God, and I'll do that. But you know what? We owe God everything, and how much does He owe us? Nothing. Sometimes we got to know we're bound in order to be looking to be set free. Remember, the children of Judah also went into Babylonian captivity. And we all know the verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, to give you a hope and a future. But that's because they're seeking with their whole heart. It says, you will seek me and find me because you seek with your whole heart. But there's this little thing of they had to go through captivity to do it. Yeah. Does God have to put you flat on your back to look up? He had to put you within sight of that own pit of sin that you were in before you looked and said, God, save me, right? Again, sometimes we have to know we're bound. Israel didn't realize it. That's what the prophet was doing. That's what I'm trying to tell some of you. And even if you're doing well, I'm saying there's other areas God wants to work in. Will you allow Him to turn on the light so that you can see it? Or will you just run and say, no, I'm good compared to everybody else? To the sinner, I would say this. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, today is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3:7-8 says, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day. That's what I'm saying to the sinner. To the backslider, I would point them to Romans 13:11-14. And it says that today is one day closer than when we first believed. He's coming again. Do you believe it? Are you working on it? Have the weeds come back again? It's happened in my own life. Thought I had something lit, but it really wasn't the real root of the thing. I just cut down the trees. The root was there. It grew back up into some other form. And I just thought, well, I'm doing good over here. Okay. I'm going to heaven. Yes. I've got more to do. God wants to work more in me, get more glory out of my life, rain righteousness on me so that I can enjoy Him, serve Him, worship Him, and enjoy Him forever. That's the chief end of man. Have the weeds come back. What about to the on fire? There's some people in here that I know are on fire. 2 Corinthians 3:18, I'd point them to. We're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord as we behold Him. We can always go deeper into God. There's always more ground to claim. And God still rewards the diligent seeker. Amen? Woo! I want some rain. God did show me an area of my life. I am giving it to Him. Praise the Lord. Break up the fallow ground, sow righteousness, reap mercy, that He may come and rain righteousness upon you. And your version may say, rain deliverance upon you. I need to be delivered. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory, deliverance comes from the Lord. But the horse is prepared for the day of battle. Now your version may say, like the ESV says here, that He may come. Or it may say, till He come. How long are we supposed to be plowing the soil? Sowing the good seed, reaping and all that, till He rains on you. Means we got to persevere until He does it. Isaiah 62:6-7 said, let the watchman on the wall not give God any rest till He makes Jerusalem a peace. Keep at it. God's raining righteousness already. You know that. But the question is our ground ready to receive it? Oh, I'm getting it over here, but how about over here? Are you just shutting God off and saying, no, not that room. Like your mama did. Don't get into that cabinet. Not that china. That's just to look at. Right? Does God own the house, or are you letting God in where you want? Oh, I've got some things here. Are you listening? I've got some things here. Do you actually want it? It's time to get real. Are we fertile ground or are we fallow ground? It may start with one simple prayer. I think we need to do business with God today. I think we at least need to start by praying today. It may start with one simple prayer, but it's got to continue on. Unattended soil becomes fallow ground again. What areas do you not trust Him in? You're trusting in your own self-strength, your warriors, as it were. Is the money starting to be dried up? Hello. Where in your life, in your heart, is unplowed ground? Ground plowed over by, this is a good thing, not just a, oh, conviction, oh, it's a hard message. It's also a joyous thing. There's areas in your life that God wants to rain down righteousness, and all He says is just give it to me, plow the ground, sow the thing in, I'll rain on it, you'll reap. I need more God in my life. He wants the bad stuff, and He'll turn, oh my goodness, come on. Where in your life is unplowed ground? Ground plowed over by evil, unbelief, unrighteousness. It needs to be plowed with godly seed, turned into godly soil. We read our verses this morning. How do you do that? You pray to God, Lord, how can I know my secret faults? Cleanse me from these ways. Keep me back from presumptuous sins. Then I'll be innocent of a great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If David needed to pray that, believe me. Jim David right here that's standing before you needs to pray it, and so does every other David, a couple over here, and some other people. David means beloved. Are you in the beloved? Then you need to pray this prayer. Say, Lord, keep working on me. Psalm 139, we sang it, and we read it this morning, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, know my way, try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. But what if He's leading that way, and you go, whoa, not there. But not that. I got a question for you. Do you want to find God? Yes. Do you? Yes. You want to tell you where He is? He's hiding out in that place of your heart you refuse to give Him. That's where He is. I'm hearing Him here, I'm hearing Him here, I'm hearing Him here. He's back there saying, I've got a flashlight, and I'd like to turn this on so we can take a look around and clean this place up. What do you think? Psalm 66, 18 says this. Now you listen to me. It says, if I cherished iniquity in my heart, you will not hear me. So you're sitting there saying, God, I'm over here in this wonderful building. Do this. And He goes, I'm over here in the closet. Why don't you come here? That's where I'm at. This place is already producing a great crop. Why sit there and go, woo-hoo-hoo, potatoes, when He's saying, woo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo, carrots. Where are they? Where are you? God uses broken things. Break up your fallow ground. He uses broken things. And He allows circumstances to break us open so that His power can show forth. We have these treasures in jar of clay, right? We're pressed but not crushed. Boom, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But often we're too hard-hearted. We resist God's desire to mold us in the image of Christ, and we suffer what? Bondage and captivity. Sometimes we don't even realize it, just like Israel didn't realize it here. You think, oh, I'm free. How free are you? You're free enough till someone wrecks your car and then, oh, you're not a Christian all of a sudden. Help me, Lord. Oh, you're free until I personally step on your toes and offend you and then you run. You're not here for 6 weeks and 6 months and yikes. It's the Word of God, folks. Not my personality. It's yours. God help me. The Holy Spirit's trying to get us to be receptive to God's will for our lives, to break up the uncultivated soil, to get more glory for God out of your life. Don't you want that? I do. Sometimes it hurts, though. Like Brother Ray's foot, they have to keep breaking it so the blood will go there, it'll heal it. Or whatever, right? Isn't that the way they do it? They break your bone again so it'll heal right? God loves you. Those He loves, He chastises. If He doesn't whip you, He doesn't love you. Oh, go ahead and touch the fire and get burnt, little cannon. No, you don't do that. You say, stop it. That's all He can understand right now. And then you talk to Him and say, well, you know, you can see this is hot, and if you do this, this will happen. Okay, but right when it happens, what do you got to do? You got to pull Him away. I mean, if I saw a train coming after you and it was going to knock you down and I had to cut your arm off so it wouldn't hit you, you'd save you, but take your arm off, I'd cut your arm off. Isn't that the way it is? I've given this example before. Here I am, and I'm running, and there's the end of a cliff. Whoa, I stop. Look at the cliff. No. Here comes Ray. Don't stop me. And I say, no, Ray. Knock him out, knock him down. Yeah, like that's going to happen. He gets up, and he goes, whoa, there was a cliff there. Hey, Ray, here comes Bill. Oh, do Red Rover, you know, stop him. And he goes, no, I see a cliff. I want to go. Wait, it's pretty, no, get me back up here. Here comes old Sam. No, get away. I know it's a cliff. I'm going down. And then we got him by the hand, and then he starts biting our hand. You know what I'm saying? God is long-suffering with you, but eventually, you're not who you thought you were. And you find yourself dropping. Do you hear me? It happened to Israel, and it happened to Judah too. We're going to get there in just a second. Oh, my goodness, you need to hear this message today. Somebody give me an amen. Amen. He wants to get more glory out of your life. He wants you to be satisfied in Him and His work in and through us, for us to be willingly allowing God to take us and make us as He will. Filled with Thy power till all shall see, Christ only always living in me. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold all my being, absolute sway. Come on. You know what I'm saying? God wants to mold us and make us after His will, but too often we resist His intentions with our own inventions. Where is your fallow ground? Where is your rain coming to? Did you hear me there? Do you want it to rain there? Do you want to see more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit evident in your life? Do you want deliverance? Do you want revival? Do you want to see the Spirit of God move? You must move. The miracle of sincere repentance and satisfying rain follows the plow. You have to give more of yourself as fuel for the fire. Given it shall be given unto you. Do you ever saw it in that light? Luke 6:38. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Matthew 5:6. You break up your fallow ground. You prepare for rain. All eyes up here. All eyes up here. This message is a personal word to you. To you. To you. You can't stand there like a stubborn mule and look at everybody else. This is between you and God. The southern kingdom thought they were doing well. Let's look at Hosea 11, verse 12. Because it's a beautiful, almost like a prodigal son, but even more beautiful in its language, really, in Hosea 11. And at the end it says, Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah still walks with God and is faithful to the Holy One. They were doing good, but guess what? They became guilty, and in 586 BC, Jerusalem fell. Jeremiah again prophesied for more than 20 years before they fell. Just because it seems you can get away with it now doesn't mean you can get away with it forever. Just because you can get away with it for now doesn't mean forever. Let's look at Jeremiah. When someone says, oh, it doesn't matter, bring them here. Jeremiah 7 says, verse 8 through 10. Those people you're counseling, here it is. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we're delivered, only to go on doing these abominations? You're not fooling God. You can fool the preacher. You can fool yourself. That's the point. Israel said, we know you, God. And He says, no, you don't. I'm going to smash your idols. You're going to plant and nothing's going to happen. You're going to plant and it'll grow and someone else will take it. And Assyria took them. And Babylon took Judah. Judah turned back with their whole heart, though, and Judah came back into the land. Assyria was taken over by Babylon and never came back. That's 10 out of 12. Who were covenant people. Think clearly. Are you repentant? Are you humble? Are you teachable? Are you listening? Are you learning? What's on your tongue these days? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You may say, God isn't working for me. But we're supposed to be working for Him. If you want to see God more at work in your life, you have to work His way. Not against Him, but for Him. You have to put it all in for Him to work in all areas. All in. All in. For Him to work that way. He works with what He's given. He works with what He's given. Now, your works don't save you. Of course not. But God works in us so that we will work for Him. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, work out your own salvation. It means work out what He's worked in. With fear and trembling. Yeah, yeah. For it is God who works in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. You see both sides of the coin there. God's going to reign. God's going to help you to sow. God's going to cause you to reap. But you've got to break up that fallow ground, and He shows you where it is. Where do you want it to reign? That's not law. That's grace that works. That's getting real with God. You can say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, He knows your heart, but does He have your heart? Do you know His heart? His word tells you what is in your heart. And God's heart is to see your hard-heartedness be broken up, plowed again in with His ways, so that He'll pour a blessing out on you like rain. I was in Jeremiah. Let me read some more Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Verse 23 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. And if you're not doing what this text says, you may think you know God, but you don't know Him as well as you ought. If any man thinks that he knows, he knows not as much as he ought. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. But I am the Lord who practices steadfast love. He talks about reaping steadfast love. Is it happening? Is it increasing? Do you even define it correctly? Steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord, is what you delight in, the same thing He delights in. Break up your fallow ground. Look at the end of the book of Hosea. Kind of like the book of Ecclesiastes at the end, in a sense. It says, whoever is wise. See, he's not just talking to Israel in 750 B.C. He's talking to you and me in 2010. And however long it is before God brings the Son of Righteousness back to receive us to Him. It says, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. It's time to get real. God has imputed, in other words, accounted, the righteousness of Christ to save us. Jeremiah again, 23:6. Jehovah Sid Canu, it says on our banner over there. The Lord is our righteousness. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. We know that it's a done deal for Christians in that sense. For believers, I'm not talking about a matter of salvation. The question is, will you be filled with the Holy Spirit? This is about sanctification. This is about holiness. This is about growing in grace. This is about giving glory to God. Get real with God, and He will get real with you. Get real with God, and He will be real to you. Can I say that again? Get real with God, and He will get real with you. Yes, it'll hurt, but God's the healer. He shows you where you really hurt, or otherwise you're going to be walking around in misery, and you're going to wonder why it is that you're always down, because there's that one area that He wants to rain on, and you won't give it to Him. Everybody keeps telling you, and they don't know as well as the Holy Spirit and you and the Bible and the prayer is going to tell you. Then you know, and then it'll happen, and then everybody wonder what happened. Somebody broke up some fallow ground, sowed in a little righteousness, reaped a little mercy, and woo, there was some rain because they sought the Lord. Are you seeking the Lord today? On His terms. Again, He's off in that closet you're paying no attention to. Get real with God and He'll get real with you. Get real with God and He will be real to you. Let me just end by saying it this way. The more He reigns like a king, you know, reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S. The more He reigns in your life, the more He will reign, R-A-I-N. On your life. The more He reigns in your life, the more He will reign on your life. Sow to yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He rain righteousness on you. Heavenly Father, I thank You helping me to learn. I ask that You would continue to help me. Help me to break up fallow ground and to be sowing and reaping, and that You would be reigning and reigning in my life. Christ only always living through me, that I might be a good shepherd as the good shepherd to these people. And I ask that You would speak to them in their hearts. Show them. Know them, that they might know You. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you here, there, in the air. God bless you.